Thank you for joining us today. This is Renovation Podcast, and my name is John Oglesby, and I'm here with Dr. Christopher Cohn. And how you doing, Dr. Cohn?
I am exhausted, and I know you are too. I think neither of us have gotten any rest recently. I think you have me beat, though, because I think you probably got less sleep than I did last night.
Yeah, I think the little sleep I did get wasn't exactly restful sleep either. When I can sleep through the night with no covers on because I'm just sweating, that's how I know it was a bad night.
Well, this will be one of those days where we're very cognizant that His grace is sufficient for us.
Amen.
So we hope and pray that anybody crazy enough to listen to this is blessed through the word that's shared, but because we know it's not us, not today.
Amen.
It's never us.
Amen. And on top of that exhaustion, I will be actually traveling to Pensacola, Florida, where I'm from.
Brilliant.
Right, so going to see some family and stuff. And this morning, so it's just going to be me and Kana at first. I have an 11-month-old daughter, and she's going to be traveling with me. And I was packing some of her stuff this morning, or correction, I was acting sorry for myself. My wife was packing some of her stuff this morning. And so I started thinking, though, and I was going, you know, Pensacola, I can't get on these flights because they're all full. And the reason is because spring break's next week, right? And so with spring break next week, I was thinking Panama City, Pensacola, they're really all famous for their crazy spring break weeks. And I know spring break's coming up next week for us here, and it'll be coming up in the near future for a lot of other schools and students and college students and whoever, and even some professors and teachers and stuff are going to be thoroughly enjoying their spring break. But I was thinking, and spring break has like this almost like a party type, you know, thought behind it in a lot of people's minds, and you know, let's go to Panama City and, you know, hang out on the beach and stuff like that. So, but what the question I want to ask today is, how do we spring break as a verb, right? How do we spring break to the glory of God? What ways can we glorify God in our week off of whatever we're involved in?
Love it. It's a great question. And I'm ready to give it a try.
Let's do it. I am really looking forward to answering some of this stuff.
You know, it's a funny balance because I've got a few passages in Proverbs open here, and I'll just read a couple, and these will make you chuckle. Proverbs 6:10, a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest, and your poverty will come in like a vagabond and your need like an armed man. and a similar thing in Proverbs 24, a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest, your poverty will come out as a robber and your want like an armed man. You know, very similar phrasing.
Right.
And so I'm always cognizant of the, or try to be, just aware of the need for diligence and sense of urgency, and you know, realizing that we have limited time and opportunity to serve the Lord here. At the same time, we also have to be very, very aware that God created 6 days, and then he stopped. You know, he rested from his work. Obviously, he wasn't exhausted like we are. But then again, he didn't have to deal with you and I.
So, that's what I was saying.
No, he knew us before we were, you know, before there were any of our days and all that. So he gets lots of credit. But he rested from his work, and then set that out as a pattern that Sabbath day would be. And of course, in the Mosaic Law, that was a part of the pattern that there would be
right. There'd
be a time of rest. And there, even in the Mosaic Law, there was a Sabbath rest for the land itself, that you wouldn't use the ground there in that seventh year, so it could rejuvenate. So obviously we're not under the Mosaic Law. That's something that Christ fulfilled. You want to get into that more, that's Ephesians chapter 2. But there's a pattern there that we see prior to the Mosaic Law, and then within the Mosaic Law, and then there's a discussion later in Hebrews about a Sabbath rest. I'm not suggesting we need to keep the Sabbath. I am suggesting that there is a principle of the importance of rest. And right. I think it was A.W. Tozer who said, which this is very condemning to both of us today, and both of us most days, that if a person doesn't get 8 hours of sleep, he can't be spiritual. I can't remember the last time I had 8 hours of sleep, so maybe that's my problem. But so just, you know, that thinking through that idea of the balance between rest and work, and, you know, we have to have breaks. God has designed us for that. So I think that kind of helps us think through whether or not we should even, is it a godly thing to take a spring break? Should we just work right through, you know? Yes, we should rest. We should take time, get refocused, reprioritize, you know, assess. Sometimes we get in the rhythm and we don't.
Yeah.
We can just be doing without actually being, if that makes sense.
Right, yeah. I oftentimes find myself wishing I could function off less than 8 hours of sleep.
Right.
But so yeah, what qualifies as rest? I mean that's really what I'm thinking is what kind of rest can we do that is still glorifying God? I mean, we, like you said, in the seventh day God rested. We see that throughout the Mosaic laws, the Sabbath, and even for the land and everything like that. But so as we take our rest, what does that look like, and what should we, you know, how can we do that and still be glorifying God? Because a lot of times, you know, we see where, well, we're glorifying God if we're active in doing things for Him. Mm-hmm. So active in following the commands we find in Scripture, especially the ones that say, go do, right? Go do. But at some point, like, I mean, there's a rest period.
Yeah.
But what does that look like?
So there's a couple of passages we will kind of think through. First is 1 Corinthians 10, 31, and a second would be Colossians 3:17. So we'll hit these two passages. But just one other note about the Sabbath concept. It's funny that those who argue we are under the Mosaic law suggest, well, we must keep the Sabbath, but then they shift the Sabbath to Sunday, typically, and say it's a day of worship. But when you look at the Sabbath in the Mosaic law, it was not a day of quote-unquote worship. It was a day of rest. Mm-hmm. That was the design. It was stay home, don't go anywhere. You couldn't even really travel a mile. You couldn't do, you know, your donkey falls into a pit. You had to be really careful. And it wasn't to create a bondage. It was to provide opportunities for rest. So then your question then is, well, what do you do with that? What kind of rest qualifies? So let's just look at these two passages. So let's go in chronological order in 1 Corinthians 10:31. One of the reasons I love this passage is because it describes everything that there is. And I know we've talked about this before, that there are only three things that as human beings we get to do in life. And they're all three listed here. And it's really interesting how he lists them. He says in 1 Corinthians 10:31, whether then you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. So, on our list of three, number one is eating. Okay, so that's the first thing that all humanity does. We eat.
Amen.
And, yeah, sometime we'll do a podcast on that, right?
Yeah.
Favorite foods and cuisine.
Right, yeah.
So, eating, and then he says, whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. So, we have these three activities. The first is eating. And we should be eating to the glory of God. So it defines purpose for us, that our eating is not simply for our flesh, it's not simply for our pleasures, although God made it so that it accomplishes good for our body. For eating something that's not horrible tasting, it's pleasure, it's enjoyable. Right. God made it that way, right? So eating to the glory of God. Then the second thing that we do as human beings is listed here, whether you eat or drink. Okay, so we drink as human beings, which is an appropriate passage for going into spring break. I'm drinking a cup of apple cranberry tea here. got water over here. You've got Starbucks. What in the world? What are you doing with? What is the? Is that an Americana? What is that?
This is a latte.
A latte.
Yeah, and it's my Kickstart this morning.
Yeah. Well, and if it was from the Warrior Cafe here at Calvary, it would have been a better Kickstart.
It would have been. It would have been.
But you had to settle for Starbucks. I understand. Second best. So, you know, drinking is a part of what we do, and as we're engaging in that, we are to be glorifying God in what we're drinking, how we're drinking, why we're drinking, all of those things, right? So it's kind of a simple principle. But then activity number three, I love it, is whatever you do, right? So you have eating, drinking, and then whatever you do. So
everything else.
Everything else, right? I know, it's a little redundant. We've talked about that before. But so we could talk about anything. How do we do anything to the glory of God? Well, we've got these three, and first of all, we have this requirement here that this should govern our activity, that everything we're doing, this is a present active indicative here, to do all to the glory of God. And that word is just to work or to do. So if it's appropriate that God would have us rest, then I am to rest for His glory. So how do I do that? What does that look like? And that's the neat part, is there's a lot of freedom there. But it's a matter of, you know, prioritizing God in that rest. Am I resting with Him? Am I still spending time with Him? Am I, you know, if I'm on the beach in Pensacola, which I am green with envy, because Pensacola has, in my opinion, the nicest beaches in North America.
By far.
Yeah. So if I'm there enjoying the beaches in Pensacola, am I forgetting God? Am I going somewhere so that I'm not interacting with God? Or am I enjoying Him in that? And so that's where that imperative comes in, recognizing that priority of relationship with Him first. And then the other priorities, you know, your wife, daughter, you know, my wife, daughters, you know, our families, the immediate people that He puts around us, to are we speaking in a way that's edifying them? Are we treating them with more honor than ourselves? You know, so all of these aspects of the biblical ethic for Christians, they all come into play when we're saying that the rest is to be defined by glorifying God. So it's not just these are the things we can do and these are the things we cannot do. It's about all of the stuff we're doing in life, that those same priorities are there, so nothing changes. The difference is, instead of doing some writing or instead of preparing a meal, I'm just resting.
Right. Yeah, and I think the even the context of this passage, it starts in 10:23, Paul's talking to the church in Corinth, and it seems that he's really talking about almost being a stumbling block to others, and it's just a practical way in which we can glorify God, mm-hmm. is to avoid that even in whatever we do. And I think specifically for me, going back to Pensacola, I see family, and there are some differences between me and them. And specifically, so probably half of my family doesn't even believe in Christ, and they all know that I mean, a lot of people call me Preacher John or whatever, because I was a youth pastor while I was there and all that kind of stuff. But
that's what I call you when you're not here.
I've been called Preacher John, John the Baptist.
I love it.
I've been called a lot of Bible John names, and I just give them a high five for knowing the names, you
right.
know. So, while I'm there, I am able to rest, because especially being around family, there's just that sense of I'm at home. I can just kind of calm down and get my mind off of some things, and it's just a great time of rest. But at the same time, I have to be very careful in what activities I partake in with my family, because there are a lot of activities that for me I can't do because, you know, it's just I can't partake in that because it's against what my ethic would allow me to do. And so I think specifically for my spring break, spring breaking to the glory of God, when I go back, even specifically in light of this, there are some things that I can drink around them, or, you know, some things I can't do, right, around them, because I would then be it would be a disservice to them to be a bad representation, at least in their minds, the way that they see it.
Sure, sure.
And so that's kind of something I have to specifically be careful of, especially in light of something,
a passage like this. You know, it's really interesting because the context of rest often accompanies family, and that's a beautiful thing. And as we're interacting with family or friends or other loved ones, the idea is, you know, that you're to be edifying to them. And I was thinking back a little bit more in the context of of 1 Corinthians 10, where in verse 23 he says, all things are lawful but not all things are profitable, all things are lawful but not all things edify. He talks about this incredible freedom we have in Christ,
right?
You know, and I think of maybe just a couple of examples. You know, as we're talking about drinking, for example, there are times where I interact with unbelievers where I would drink alcohol, and other times where I'd interact with unbelievers and I would not. There are times where I'm interacting with believers and I would, and other times interacting with believers and I would not. And the idea, what I'm trying to think through there is what's edifying for them in this time, in this moment, rather right. than what I want or what I don't want.
Yeah.
You know, and he says that in the next verse, let no one seek his own but that of his neighbor. And so it's kind of a neat principle that I think one of the challenges we have when we rest or vacation or take a break is, well, it's all about me. You know, this is my time. But the reality is it's still God's time, and we can rest from activity without resting from godliness. And that's, we don't want to do that. So I should always have those same priorities that I have every other day of the week or every other week of the year, whatever the case is, to where I'm focusing on the Lord, focusing on the relationships in the order that he's described, and then those immediately around me, these given to minister and to serve. And so that I think the danger for me anyway, the danger for me is to rest so much in my, you know, mentally, that I can become self-absorbed and self-centered, and I'm not concerned about others.
Yeah.
And I think that's the point. You know, I'm not getting crazy on some video and, you know, there's this big scandal because, or at least not yet, I've never done that. God, please help me. it's kind of the acceptable sins that nobody else really has a problem with. But the reality is it's still, that would be poor stewardship on my part if it's all about me and I'm not seeking the good of the other person. How can I say I'm glorifying God in my rest if it's just all about me?
Right. Yeah. And going back a little bit to the drinking aspect of that, you know, that's just a big one that, you know, especially at least I can testify to my experience, especially in my family. This, you get this idea of if the drinking aspect or the alcohol would be, you know, you hypocrite. You know, it's like, why are you, Christians aren't supposed to drink alcohol, you know, and that's provided me opportunity sometime to talk to him and say, hey, you know, this is really where the Bible goes. And if anything, it opens up an opportunity for me to talk about spiritual things, right?
Absolutely.
Which is a lot of fun. But in the context of my family now, that's not the aspect. They don't say anything. They just, you know, right. Well, this guy, you know, and it really points to 10:27. 1 Corinthians 10:27 says, if an unbeliever invites you to dinner and you want to go, eat whatever is served without asking questions of conscience. That's awesome. But then he says, but if someone says to you, this is from a sacrifice, do not eat because the one who told you and because of conscience. So it's almost that idea of this other person is getting a negative, is given negative feedback on what you're doing. And they're, you know, you are now going, overstepping their conscience. And so there's a reason behind not doing it. You're free to do it. But like you said, think about, am I building this person up?
Absolutely.
Or am I not helping them? And in the context of the alcohol, we're free to do that, you know, as we edify others. But in the context of my family, I have to think and go, hey, me doing this, they drink alcohol, so I could partake in that with them. But what am I doing in that scenario? And in my case, that's not edifying to them, because they look at that as a, wow, you're not doing the Christian thing. And you know, you want to go, well, you know, you know, it's like, you know, it's wrong for, you know, if you think it's wrong for me, you're having a lot of fun with it. But anyways,
so John chapter 2, yeah. not that I'm advocating this, but John chapter 2, you know, the wedding at Cana, they have plenty of alcohol and wine going on there until Jesus's buddies show up, and then they run out suddenly. Yeah. Why does that happen? You know, it's a fun discussion, like you say. It's an excellent opportunity to deal with spiritual things and work through some of the issues in 1 Corinthians chapter 10. The freedom that we have in Christ, but it's not about my freedom. And that's kind of the point of how can you spring break to the glory of God? Well, enjoy the rest, but remember that you still are walking with the Lord. Remember that you still are around people that, you know, we have a responsibility to show love and honor and help build them up if they know Christ, and help draw them to Christ or point them to Christ if they don't. We never get to rest from that. That's life and breath itself, right?
Right.
And I think sometimes the tendency is, okay, I've got this spot on the calendar where I'm going to get away, which means I press pause on my spiritual life. And the reality is, that's a big mistake.
Yeah, and it's really not possible.
Right.
To push pause on your spiritual
Absolutely.
Life.
Yeah. Because it's interconnected with everything, yeah. Right? There really, technically, isn't a spiritual life in the sense. There is life that is spiritual.
Right.
And it should be every aspect of our lives. Whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God, right?
And if you think you can push pause and you try and do that, it's not that you're pushing pause, but that next week that you've in your mind has pushed pause, it could have real negative effects on what's going on, at least in that week. You're missing out on a lot of good stuff.
Right.
You know, a lot of blessings, if you want to put it that way. Or
Absolutely.
Or growth, or all those kinds of things.
So the simple answer, and I'd hit Colossians 3:17 just as a summary statement, that whatever you do in word or deed, right, whether you're doing something or saying something, that encompasses everything we do, right? We're either doing something in action or in word, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through him to God the Father. That means doing something in his name means that I'm saying, hey, this is what Jesus would do. And I just wonder if we can do that.
Yeah, we should all be walking around with WWJD
yeah.
bracelets.
At least in our hearts, right?
Yeah, yep. Well, I am going to prayerfully have a God-glorifying, wonderful spring break if I can make it there today. If I can make it there today.
Well, it sounds like he could potentially put you to the test early on with the travel plans and things. So we'll be keeping you in prayer and look forward to the next time we get to visit. So everybody out there who's listening, all three of you, we'll hope and pray that that you also get a little bit of a rest and that you're able to think about how can I glorify God in this rest, enjoy him, do it with him, and then edify those around me, all while I am reclining or napping or
on the beach.
Man, you're killing me. That's my favorite kind of rest right there. In the millennial kingdom, I'd like Pensacola, please.
Amen. Amen.